Yes, we have the true elixir of life. Everyone else promises hopes and dreams and change, but we have the real thing. We have Christ Jesus, the Lord. Amen. So we're going to be turning to the book of Hosea once again, chapter 9. And we're going to be starting in verse number 10, which is the beginning of a small metaphor where God compares his original intention of the Jewish people or of Israel as being grapes in the wilderness. And so we'll look at that for a few moments and then move on from there and finish up the rest of the chapter. And Lord willing, we'll make it through. But if not, we'll just continue next week. Isn't that the great part about this, going through the Bible verse by verse? You could just pick up right where you started. You don't have to get creative about how I'm going to wow people. We just need to be wowed by the Word of God. Amen. So starting in verse number 10 of Hosea chapter 9. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at their first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird, from the birth and from the womb and from conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyre, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murder. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God shall cast them away, because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. And Lord, we just pray that you would just bless your word today, and may you cast your light upon your reasons for judging your people at that time, Lord. And also help us to see the hope that is in the coming Messiah as well. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these verses start off with a bang. What good news! Here is the plan for Israel, that they would be like this. Like it says, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. We have to think in terms of them and the wilderness. Remember, originally the people of Israel, they wandered through the wilderness. They were disobedient, so God caused them to be on a 40-year journey instead of a 4-day journey because of their backslidings. But yet, along that way, he continued to nourish them. He continued to provide them with manna. He provided them with water. And they spurned him even more because of his provision. Israel would be like just walking through this wilderness, and then you come across a refreshing, succulent grape tree or vine. It was to be that water in that desert, that nourishment. And the grapes do prefigure Jesus Christ as well. He was to be that nourishment for them. They didn't know it. And they did not even care about it through the years. Yes, think of that today. Think of what the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be to provide fruit, to provide life unto a sin-sick, weary world. Let me correct that. It's not just the church. It's because of the head of the church, Jesus Christ. They were as they, like grapes in the wilderness, invigorated, beautiful, tasty, something that would nourish them and quench their thirst. And look at where it goes after here. It says, but I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. Again, a picture of God's plan for the nation of Israel. The people going in following Moses were to be just that. Like a fresh, ripe fig. They were to be a light to the Gentiles, a light to the nations around them. But instead, they became like them. This next tragic word here, verse number 10, it's in italics, it's been provided by the translators. It says, but, here's what they did. This is one of these negative places where it's used. But, they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame. It would be good for us to turn back to the book of Numbers and see what happened. What God had done. What the people had done that would cause God's anger and His judgment upon them. Even while Moses, remember, as a type of Christ, was leading them through the wilderness. Let's go to Numbers chapter 25. As we're going through this, it is somber to see God's dealing with His people. Numbers 25. Let's start with verse number 1. I think we'll read the whole chapter. It's not long. It says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. So right off the bat, they were supposed to be separate, have their separate worship, and they went and married the daughters of Moab, doing exactly what God had told them not to do. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. Look at verse 3. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled. They joined themselves to the pagan god there. Notice what happened. God's anger was kindled against them. They were to be that peculiar people and worship only Him and Him alone. Verse number 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people. Take those elders that were assigned by Moses, the 70 elders among the people, to lead them through the wilderness. Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. The elders of Israel then became literally as a sacrifice before the Lord. Those 70 elders were responsible for leading the people. They would be the ones that would stop the people. But they didn't. They let them go on with their idolatry. And look how brutal God is with His judgment and justice. Just hang them up before the Lord and the sun. And they would just hang there and dry. And the Lord would put His anger upon those elders at first. But we continue. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay me every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from amongst the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was saved from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. 24,000 people brought under the judgment of God for going after the Moabite gods. 24,000 then. Let's continue. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, Behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. If you see a picture of the non-changing priesthood of Melchizedek and Jesus Christ, in the future, you're doing good. Pictures the non-changing priesthood of Christ, who would take away the wrath of God unto those that believe. So today, we don't have to go and throw a javelin through a Moabite. We don't have to do these things that they did in the Old Testament. We have grace through faith alone. We don't even have to do anything of the law, but yet just believe the gospel that Jesus was the one who fulfilled this. He's the one who fulfilled the law, and he's the one that fulfilled the wrath of God being taken upon himself. Let's continue and finish this chapter. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Zalu, a prince of the chief house of the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman that was slain was Cozai, the daughter of Zur, who was head over a people and of a chief of the house of Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Vex the Midianites, and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of the prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague of Peor's sake. Go back to our text here in Hosea 9. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame. What the people did was they brought shame and reproach upon the Lord their God. So the Lord did what he had to do because of his holiness. He slayed them all. It was just like that for these people of Israel / Ephraim. Some 1,600 years later, Israel still had not learned her lesson from God. Oh, what tragedy it is that even today, people still reject the grace of God. Yes, they still follow after and think that they're going to prosper from serving their gods. We may not have Baal Peor, we may not have Beelzebub, we may not have all of these pagan gods around, but they are of a different name today. Yes, they may have the name of the God of TV, the God of radio. All these things aren't gods in themselves, but they do oftentimes dictate one's faith instead of looking to the very true, the one true God. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto their shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. See again, they loved sin. They loved the reputation they were having. As we go further here, we can see how the degradation of society continues to go when a culture separates itself from God. Verse number 11. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. Remember in chapter 4, what was one of the similes or metaphors of Israel? They were like a silly dove. They just flew around aimlessly. Chapter 8, actually. They flew aimlessly and went to everywhere they could. They went to Egypt. They went to Assyria. They had no aim, no focus. They weren't focused upon the Lord their God. They would be so much, they wouldn't even exist as a nation. Something interesting when we think of that today, when we look through these next few verses. The United States, now we're talking Israel here, but as a comparison, that there would be no more a nation. The United States, the birth rate today is 1.81 children per family. Now do the math. To keep up a society, you need to have over two per family in order to promulgate your society. Many other countries today, countries that are sold out to another god, especially Allah, have a birth rate of almost seven children per family or per woman. And I could show you that and how it's happening. God systematically would take Israel and he would judge them. Their birth rates would decrease. Those that were born would be judged and go to war until they would absolutely just go out down to nothing. Not even anything significant. But praise the Lord, I'll get ahead of myself. God does keep a remnant of them. And that remnant is scattered throughout the world with some of them back in what's now known as Israel. I'm getting ahead of myself here. It's the country of Niger in the middle of Africa, a Muslim country. Seven children per family. See where we're going with stuff like immigration and stuff? These people are having children. Meanwhile, us, like Israel, abortion is nothing new. Israel, their people were aborting their children. And if they weren't aborting them, they were taking them and they were being born and they were sacrificing to the pagan gods. And if I took the words to a song that I've loved for years, it's a contemporary Christian artist that sang it. So you might want to throw something at me, some of you, but it's a song called Spirit of the Age by a gentleman, Michael Card. And here's the words to that. It says, I thought that I heard crying coming through my door. Was it Rachel weeping for her sons who were no more? Could have been the babies crying for themselves, never understanding that they died for someone else. That's what was happening in Israel. This was happening when Christ came and Herod tried to kill Jesus. That's a portend to that. The chorus of this says, a voice is heard of weeping and of wailing. History speaks of it on every page, of innocent and helpless little babies, offerings to the spirit of the age. The same spirit that wipes. You want to talk about Black Lives Matter today? 52% of all black children are never born. But yet, a friend of mine, pastor in New Jersey, a black pastor, they had the NAACP conference down there in New York. He went with some signs saying that all lives matter to blacks and we're killing half of our population through abortion. The NAACP had him hauled off and arrested. But tell them the truth. But yet people want to go on this justice crusade and do this stuff. But meanwhile, you're hated if you point out the fact that their race is being killed off systematically by the spirit of the age. Pray for our black friends and neighbors. Help them to see that they're just by being black is not a reason for them to hate others or not a reason for us to hate them. In God's kingdom, there is no black or white. There's only slaves and free. And those slaves are slaves to sin and free of those who have been freed by Jesus Christ. That alone. Let me read another couple verses of this song. No way of understanding this sad and painful sign. When Satan rears his head, there comes a tragic thing. If he could crush the cradle, then what would stop the cross? He knew that once the light was born, his every hope was lost. Now every age has heard it, this voice that speaks from hell. Sacrifice your children, and for you it will be well. The subtle serpent's lying, his dark and ruthless rage. Behold, it is revealed to be the spirit of the age. Soon all the ones who seem to die for nothing will stand beside the Ancient of Days. With joy we'll see that infant from a manger come and crush the spirit of the age. We'll see him crush the spirit of the age. So these people, just as today, they thought they were doing good by offering up their children. Oh, it'll go great. If you have less children, you'll have everything in the world. But yet, those little babies, they will one day, they will stand with God. They will stand in completeness. Because they cannot, the memories cannot be taken away. Verse number 10, or verse 11. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Verse number 12. Verse number 11 deals with those that would purposely sacrifice their children to the gods of the world. Verse number 12 here says, though there will be some that will have children, yet will I bereave them that there shall not be a man left. Now, if you remember why, what was happening with Israel, they were aligning themselves with Assyria. They were going to Egypt. But yet Assyria would come in like a flood and devour them. So the ones that were born would be taken in God's judgment through war. They would be brought in and taken away. See, because why? It says it right here. Woe also to them when I depart from them. God takes his presence out of a nation when they reject him. Amen. When a nation rejects God, all semblance of order is gone. We may have governments, but they turn into anarchy. And there's no order. It's every man for himself. Yes, that's what we learn from the public education system. It's not about everybody else. It's about what you can do. You're the top of the food chain. Do what you have to do to survive. The exact opposite of the Christian viewpoint, where Christ died. And you know what we get to do? We get to serve one another. We get to work. Not all about survival of the fittest, because we know that none of us will survive without the King, without the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, the nations would submit to what's called the divine right of kings. Yes, this is a political theory. It says that God has given kings to have all authority. No, kings are supposed to be under the authority of God. We have that notion today, whatever the president says, that we must do. Now, if the president's a criminal, you don't listen to him. If your magistrate is a criminal and goes against God's law, he is to be not listened to. He is a civil servant, just like us. We're all servants under God. There is no authority that's above us except God. All of the glory of God. Let's look at verse number 13. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus is planted in a pleasant place. I like how Hosea uses Tyre as an example. And he uses Ephraim. Remember, Ephraim or Israel, the northern tribes, were planted in the valley of Jezreel. The most fruitful, most fertile place to grow crops around. And he's saying, just like Tyrus, or just like Tyre, which was known to be an impenetrable fortress. Tyre was located out on like an island in the sea. It was surrounded by the waters. And it was thought that nobody could get to them. It was so defensible that nothing could get them down. They were in a pleasant place. But yea, just before the judgment would come upon Israel, the Assyrians would overrun Tyre as well. So he's saying, basically, watch out, Israel. Tyre was more mighty than you are, or so they thought. And God brought them down because of their idolatry. He used the Assyrians. Now it's interesting because Tyre, when David was king, he had made good alliances with Tyre, where a lot of the building material for the temple was from. But yet, they would submit themselves even more and more to idolatry. And then we see, tragically, Solomon's son, Jeroboam, after Solomon, would bring idolatry right into the very same temple of God. This is where it all started. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murder. Israel, again, they were prosperous. They would forget about God. They would sacrifice their children unto pagan gods. And others would go into battle against the Assyrians and ultimately lose. They were being set up for murder, for being taken, for being turned away from the Lord. Ultimately, God would bring forth His Son, the Messiah. In the very same way that King Herod would try to crush the Messiah, God delivered him. And we have salvation through Christ Jesus. Ultimately, there is victory in what Jesus did. Yes, all we have to do is look and see through the years how the Jews have been persecuted. Think the biblical accounts. Think of the Assyrians, even though God used them. God used the Babylonians for turning against Him. In modern years, we see the Nazis right there trying to exterminate the Jews. Even Adolf Hitler thought if he got rid of the Jews, they could have a better society. But it was in the Jews, henceforth, where the Messiah came from, the only one that could deliver society. Verse number 14. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. Remember, it was Gilgal where the Jordan River was crossed, led by Jesus, or Joshua, which is a picture of Jesus, leading the people into the promised land. It was right there where they, instead of worshiping God, they worshiped the very stones that they had erected to memorialize God. It was there that God hated them for turning their back on them, or on Him, rather. I think I said it this last week as well, this term God hating the sinner and the sin. God detests all that is unholy. God's justice would demand that each and every one of us would be dead. That's what we deserve because we were enemies of God. But He sent His Son to reconcile us with Him So now we're not enemies, but we are the children of light instead. The end of the verse here. Give them, O Lord, what will thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. The people wouldn't want to have children at that time. Maybe you've heard this yourself. Think of the world you're bringing children in. Why would you want to have kids today? I heard that 50-some-odd years ago. Every generation has said that. Why are you going to have children? This is such a wicked world, so they wouldn't even want to have children. God would give them what they wanted. Eventually, the nation would disappear, even though there would be people that would still do the right thing and have children. Their uniqueness of being that nation of God was fading fast. I want to turn over the book of Luke for a second. Luke 23. Let's go to verse 26. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do those things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. So as Jesus was on the cross, he was looking back to the prophetic word that he was going to be coming again. Don't weep this. The day judgment is going to be coming once again when I return with great wrath on the world. So we see a portend to this with Israel when the same thing was said by the prophets to them. Jeremiah prophesied that they will say, let the rocks cover. The book of Revelation tells us that as well. We'll want to go, and the people want to go into the mountains and let the rocks cover them instead of facing the wrath of God. What better of a world could the people be looking for? The wrath was on its way. Back to Hosea. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. I kind of went backwards for a second, didn't I? For there I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Verse number 16. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. Now look back to verse number 10 where we started about the original intention of Israel being fruitful. Being that place of refreshment and nourishment. Now, at the end of the chapter here, they'll have no root. They'll be dried up. They'll be withered. They will bear nothing. They had been planted in that pleasant place, but because of its idolatry, they would have no fruit. Lost as a tree that receives no water. You ever seen a tree that's been struck by lightning? What happens when judgment of that lightning, even though lightning is not a judgment, but just a picture of it, when you see a tree that's got no root, no water going into the root, it snaps easily and is taken away. Those are the first trees that go. But yet, had Israel stayed attached to the root, see that, the root of Jesse? Had they stayed attached to the mercy and love of God, they would have remained fruitful, but had become fruitless. Their root had actually been, had dried up. and wither. Hence, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he was pointing to the nation of Israel rejecting him and his father. God would use, in the same way as a tree that whose root is dried up, in the same way as that judgment comes on that tree, God would now use these civil wars. He would use murders. He would use the taxation from Assyria. All these things together to bring judgment to that tree. It says, yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. Tragically, some would still bear children. Those children would come into the world and then they would be taken out of the world through the wars and the riotousness that was going on there. It's tragic. Isn't this a sad story that you see? The demise of this nation that turns from the Lord. Verse 17, my God will cast them away. Think of that for a moment. Because they did not hearken unto him. Here's where I want to put a big if. If. If is a dangerous word most of the time when we think of this. If I had done this, what would have happened? Well, if you had only done this, things would go right. But if Israel had only obeyed their God, they would still be blessed today. They would be the people of prosperity in the world. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Just as God's word says, most of the Jews are still wandering through the world. You know, there's more Jews in New York City than there are in Israel, actually. They are scattered throughout the world. They have become wanderers. Just like was prophesied way back in Genesis chapter 4. They would be wandering the world. But let's end with a little good news here. Let's turn to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13 in closing. Let's start with verse 1. Let's go through the whole chapter quickly. It says, and as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves. See, Jesus is talking to the apostles at this time. Take heed to yourselves. There's kind of a big, there's a brackets in here where he's separating when he was here with the time that he comes again. They were expecting him to come any time, even then. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Verse 9 was fulfilled by the ministry of Paul. Look at Paul's life through the book of Acts. The times he was beaten. The times he went before the magistrates because of the gospel. Verse number 11, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Is the end of our little parentheses pointing out the apostolic ministry back when the church was just beginning. Now to verse 14. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. So now we're back into the end when Christ is about to return. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. This is for Israel's sake that those days of judgment would be shortened. It was for their sake that he would bring them forth and gather them together. And again, he's going to use formerly enemy territory to gather the people into. Verse number 21. And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. But false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. That's the idea, is to deceive those that they would not be saved. But God has chosen the Jews for salvation. Read Romans 11 sometime. You can see. God did not totally wipe out Israel or Judah at that time, but he kept a remnant that is around the world. Now, here's where it gets exciting here. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. By the way, that's not the four blood moons. It was just a lot of money was made on a while back ago. It's only going to be one time. It's at the end of the world when Christ comes. Look what's going to happen. And the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Zephaniah and Zechariah both talk about this, about Christ coming in the clouds, and all the earth, or all the tribes of the earth will mourn because they see him. They will see that the Jews will see the Messiah. Verse number 27, and then shall he send his angels or his messengers, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. So this means the elect here are the Jews who God has preserved that remnant through these years, the four corners of the earth. A Bible critic will say the earth is round, it can't have corners. But it's metaphorical. From everywhere around the earth, he's going to gather them together and he will bring them into their eternal homeland. He will bring them back into the millennial kingdom, back into eventually Jerusalem. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. This is where it gets back to Hosea and also the book of Amos. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Israel had become what? They had become their fruit had rotten. had been rotted, the tree had become rotten.
So in the like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when that time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.
See, the Lord gave these promises to the nation that rejected him. And he gave that message to his servants, the disciples. Said, all these things are going to happen.
Just as that watchman, it was the Pharisees and the scribes that had fallen asleep and they had let everybody do what they wanted.
But Jesus is telling his disciples to watch. You don't know when the Lord of the house is going to come back in, and when he comes, he'll find you awake. He'll find you doing what you ought to be doing. What should we be doing today? Question.
Glad you asked.
What we should be doing today is simply believing on the Son of God. The name of the Son of God. Because in Him, all these things are fulfilled. Yes, this gentle Lamb of God, He came in humility. He came, suffered, and died as that Lamb to save us. And He'll be coming back as that Lion of the tribe of Judah. And He's coming with greater wrath than Israel originally saw. But yet, it's for the purpose of redeeming them. Yes, there's good news in Hosea 9. God still loves those grapes in the wilderness. And God has preserved some special grapes in the wilderness. A remnant, so to speak, of those that do love Him. And not only will there be grapes in the wilderness, but they'll be looking for and will be looking for a day when there'll be the river of life filled with all manner of trees. Not just one. But there'll be all manner of trees with their leaves for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22. And we get to partake in that. Yes, the Lord has brought His people, has brought Israel / Ephraim, He's brought Judah through. They have been judged, but God has kept a remnant. He has given us, the Gentiles, salvation. The exact people who He told God, the people not to go into. God has redeemed Gentiles to cause Israel to go into jealousy. But yet he'll take both together. And we have to look forward. We have the kingdom to look forward to in the millennium. God has a plan. He knows what He's doing. No matter what happens in the world today, we can know this. We can rest upon His grace, His mercy, His salvation. Because only through Him will we be rescued. He's rescued us from sin and death through the cross. And through His life, He rescues us or preserves us from that power of sin. And praise the Lord, one day, when the rapture happens, if you're a believer, when the rapture happens or when he comes again, we'll be saved from the presence of sin as well. Amen. Trust God. Trust Christ today. If you haven't, I don't know what you're waiting for, because now is the hour of salvation. Behold, today is the day. The Lord could come at any minute. Let me correct myself. Any second. Let me correct that again. Any millisecond. I think we can even get right down to a twink of an eye, which is such a small fraction. The Lord could take us home. Do you want to go? You want to go on that trip? Think it's quick flying to California. Wait till the rapture happens. Whew. Let that be your motivation. And then Christ has fulfilled all. He loves us. In spite of us, he still loves us. And that's what we need to remember. Just trust him. Amen.